So our topic today is radio, the original hyperlocal play. And you know what? We've been around for a long time. I know what I wanted to mention. We're going to do this without a PowerPoint. And when I told Jennifer we were going to do without a PowerPoint, I got an email back. She seemed to be a bit surprised. So we do have one slide, and whoever's running the system, could you punch over to the slide if possible? No? Okay. There we go. All right. So, for those of you that have been subscribing to Rain for some time, as I have, this guy would be in Japan on the set of Star Trek or whatever it is, taking pictures of himself. And this goes back to 2002, and I thought, okay, it's somewhere between weird and cute and vain and whatever. Who knew that this guy was on the cutting edge? This was the trend maker. This was the first selfie guy. So, Kurt, there you are. Finally getting your due. Okay, thank you. So there's our PowerPoint for today. And I knew I was in trouble with PowerPoint when I used it at my son's bar mitzvah 2 years ago. So I've tried to wean myself off from that. Okay, we have a great set of panelists. Christine Merritt is the head of Premier SMB Partnerships with Google. Welcome. Rich Reese is the vice president and general manager of digital operations at the Cox Media Group, and a long history managing radio stations and regional managing radio clusters with Cox. Ruth Presloff, longtime friend, head of Presloff Interactive Revenue, with great insight as to what goes on inside radio stations. And George Leith, down from Canada, visiting us today, one of his two cell phones in his pocket. Or do you carry both? Okay. All right. Great. And he's with a company called Vendasta, which is doing some really interesting stuff, and we're going to talk about that today. So let's jump right in. I want to hit Rich first because since we're talking about station-oriented stuff, and you come from the station side, and have seen the change in the migration, could you talk a little bit about what you're seeing, what's working, and how the change is occurring inside the organization in terms of digital orientation?
Well, we've had some really incredible success with our radio stations and digital. And it really is a combination of our O&O products, you know, our websites and our apps. But in addition, we've been really successful of selling non-O&O products like Google and other reach extension products, retargeting, responsive design sites, and that kind of thing. And we have really found great engagement from our sellers doing this, and it's really put us into a position where we can be a full-service marketing partner with our clients, where we're going in and putting together measurable digital media together with radio and really having great success.
And are you using digital only sellers? Have you retrained the staff? Walk us through that.
I think we haven't really put in digital only sellers. Our big thing is really first of all having some people on staff who are committed to digital. We have to have people who understand the digital space. So we have digital specialists who work with our sales force to go out in the field and do four-legged calls for digital. And so our core sellers have the relationships with our accounts, our biggest accounts, and our biggest accounts still are our biggest targets in terms of going after digital business. They're already buying digital from other people, so if we can go there and do it for them, that's the best way to go. So we've really, first of all, gotten commitment from our upper management. Second, we built a structure where we have the support necessary to help the core seller do digital. And then we also do a lot of training, and we have a digital training program, onboarding, and that kind of thing. And then finally, we really do a lot of marketing about our digital work, both using a website called CMG Local Solutions, and also we do seminars for our staff and our clients with people like Google, where we come into the market and train our sellers and train our advertisers about digital because they're very confused about it.
And I want to come back to that because I think the confusion factor is significant, but that may be a great way to flip it over to you, Christine. So you are doing partnerships not just with radio but with other media. Can you walk us through the whole process and just give us an idea of how it's going?
Sure. So at Google, we have an organization within our sales world called the Channel Sales Team, and what we do is we partner with organizations, whether they're traditional media companies, whether they are search engine marketing, whether they are focused on verticals like automotive or legal. But these are organizations that are targeting what we call the SMB advertiser. And at Google, SMB isn't defined necessarily by the size of a company's employee base or revenue, but by their spend on Google specifically. So an SMB at Google could be someone like Red Bull, for example. They could be spending underneath a certain spend threshold, and at that point, Google doesn't have employees that are directly managing that advertiser. So we've created a huge ecosystem of partners, and one of those partner ecosystems is Channel Sales, and these are companies that manage hundreds or thousands of advertisers at scale. And then we provide all the support to that partner. So we provide things such as training and sales incentives and MDF funding to help them grow and incentivize their sales teams towards selling packages that include Google solutions. And then in turn, our partners own that customer relationship themselves.
And are the partners typically newspaper, television? I mean, sort of walk us through the hierarchy of how that's gone so far.
So we have several categories. So we have newspaper partners. We are working with more and more companies that are both newspaper as well as broadcast entities. We have some partners who are just pure radio. And then we have companies who are doing just digital. For instance, in the automotive space, companies like dealer.com. So it really just depends on the type of coverage we're looking for. We're trying not to oversaturate any given market, but basically any organization that has sales teams that will be selling to multiple amounts of clients, we want to focus on making sure they're selling effectively and selling successfully.
Has radio been late to this party?
I think nascent or early is a better word.
Okay.
I've been on the team almost 3 years. I have been active with the NAB now for almost 3 years, and the steps have been small. But we definitely see the revenue picture changing, digital dynamics changing across the U.S., and we're there looking for partners who want to be ready for when this sea change happens. And we are working with many companies today who are preparing for that future.
Why do you think there's been a reticence on the radio side, or what do you think the biggest issue is?
I think, as you mentioned, there's just a lot of confusion. Myself and my colleagues do a lot of external speaking engagements to really primarily educate the broadcast industry to the fact that Google does want to work with the broadcast and traditional media companies in partnership because it's something that's just largely not known. And so the more we're out there educating, I think the more we're starting to see partners understanding that we can work together. And then to have partners like Cox, like Scripps, who are seeing the results of the partnership in real time become very successful for their businesses, that's only going to continue to, I think, create more positive education within the industry, thus bringing on more partners and then ultimately serving the end advertiser better.
Great. Ruth. You guys are in the email business, and email actually hit the 40-year mark recently. So you're running the Rodney Dangerfield part of the business, where everything is a shiny new object, but email is out there, and by everything I read, even though it's been around for a long time, it may be the most underused tool.
Unfortunately, I've had to use this metaphor before. But no one talks about oxygen anymore. But we can't live without it. And I think that's where email is. Perhaps with the exception of SEO, it is the most effective marketing medium in the digital space. And when you're talking about hyperlocal, you don't get any more personal than somebody's inbox, and chances are it's in the pants of most of the people who are sitting in the audience because it's on your mobile device as well.
Right now they're watching Tim Cook, so it's not in their pants right now.
But they will get an email with everything that Tim had to say momentarily, right, as soon as it breaks, and then anyone who missed that will check it. It is email in terms of that's the method and the means that you can get information to people. But so much, and I think about it in terms of the prior panel with big data, so much is the information that you're collecting and then how you're using that first-gen registration information to make sure that the emails that you're sending are targeted, they're segmented, they're relevant, they're helping you let people know about the awesome product. I just loved Pandora just speaking consistently about how they're working on creating an awesome product. Email is a way of letting your known users know what you're doing for them, and that cuts both ways. So that's programming, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but it's huge on the sales side as well.
Well, let's stay there for a sec. So open rates have come way down, and so is that one of the obstacles that you face when you go into a radio group?
The biggest obstacle we face is just attention span. Right, so it's the shiny object syndrome, and then it becomes look at the data that you're collecting. So my guess is that anybody here who's from a radio station is collecting information. What always stuns me is that nobody looks at what they're collecting, and so that it's a focus thing. And Christine, I bet you really deal with the same thing. And Rich, the same thing. It becomes the biggest issue. Is understanding the power of what you have. And in the forecast that we're now doing for our clients, we're looking at things like, this is a $1 million business. So stop looking at it in terms of, is it a 40-year-old platform, and start looking at it in terms of being able to really move the revenue needle for you.
George, Vendasta, fairly new, probably not the shiny new object, but newer, certainly than email. Walk us through what reputation management means.
Well, we loudly.
Well, we play in the space of every business as a virtual doorway, and we have a product that was developed 6 years ago and continues to be developed by our team of developers in Canada. And we had to go out and sell it to business people because every business needs to be monitoring these virtual doorways across review sites and listing sites, and now social. And in order to get to where we're now with 8,500 salespeople on the street, including a salesperson in Atlanta that works for Rich, his name's AJ. I was actually on a call with him the other day with a client. We use media companies as our channel partners and go out very similar to the work that Christine and her team does with Google, but we're working in that virtual doorway. And by virtual doorway, it means that everybody does a search. And they're going to do a search before they buy everything that they're going to do. We're probably going to go search people that we meet at this event. It's called creeping if you do it on social media. But we do searches for everything as consumers. And that data that's out there that's being populated on review sites and directory sites and listing sites is vitally important for the business person to know how to deal with it. So my Air Miles account is through the roof because I go out and train business people on why it's important, and at the same time I'm working with salespeople and media companies on how to tell this story to business people, and we do that through in-market seminars. In fact, we get right down to, as I was mentioning earlier, being on a sales call with AJ in Atlanta when he was trying to sell the local plumbing supplier. Space that we play in, and it's growing at a massive rate, and it's never, I always tell business people when I'm doing a seminar, this is never going to be less important than it is today, because review volume just continues to grow on an ongoing basis. So it is customer service in 2014. Customer service for your clients lives online. It's not uncommon for a business person to not even know that there's a negative review, or to not even know that there's a glowing review out there that has been posted about their business.
Mostly negative reviews, though, right?
It is mostly
just
negative, yes.
It's the nature of things, right? and the positive reviews are all on Amazon. That's that seems to be what I've noticed. Just fantastic reviews. Let's go up 10,000 feet and talk about the challenges. So we know, I don't have a PowerPoint slide, but I'll draw you in air the radio revenue. It's like this, okay? It's not newspaper revenue, which is like that. So we thank goodness for that every day. But it is this. And yet there seems to be a reticence in the radio business to jump in. If you look at the BIA Kelsey data or the Burrell data, it's always in that little 2% sort of zone. Anybody, what is going on here?
It doesn't hurt enough yet. And we work with broadcasters and we work with print as well. And oddly, newspapers are way more aggressive about this stuff. And it may be because they have to be. But, you know, you pick up enough dimes and it starts turning into dollars, and you start adding those together, and you start getting some real money here and there. And that becomes, you know, if digital is like the grout between the tiles, it's going to start taking over more and more. And I just think the pain point hasn't been hit.
What we had to deal with our general managers is talking about profit. I mean, the first thing they say was, well, you can't make any money on all those digital products. Well, we've really focused with our operators to say, okay, find the most efficient way to fulfill the digital, and then make sure that you're not overpaying commission on certain parts of it, especially when you're looking at pay-per-click. You have to be really careful. But at the same time, we all have to be realistic about what the radio business's profit margin is going to be in the future with all the competitive attacks we're under. And so it may not be realistic today. If you look at the newspaper business, they were saying, well, we're making 60% margin. We don't have to worry about this stuff. And now they're happy if they can make 10%. So we have to be realistic about what kind of margin we make in digital. But you can make margin at it. And then the other thing is, you have to look at it as an integrated sale, that it's a blended rate. So you're making a very good profit on your radio time, and then you're adding additional services together, and it's making you stronger and more resilient with all the attacks that are coming at us in the business.
Did you want to pick up on that?
Well, I work with all sorts of different partners, and I'm going to go to work with the Yellow Page Group next week in Louisiana, and I know that when I was with them 6 months ago and we were on a sales call, on a four-legged call, the rep said, thank goodness you're coming with me, because this guy wouldn't see me if I didn't have digital. So that's the space that's out there. And I think the question sometimes that I answer in the radio space is, why does radio want to be selling reputation management? I have a very good answer for that. And it is, you want the money because somebody's going to sell it to your customer. And those aggressive salespeople in other spaces are out there eating your lunch. So we're hearing from radio reps when we go out and work with the Town Squares or the Beasley Broadcasts. I was in South Carolina two weeks ago working with Clear Channel. And they want that revenue. They know that the Yellow Page guy has it, or they know that the newspaper guy has it. So for radio, it's a me too. We've got great salespeople, so we would like to get that revenue.
Christine, SEO has changed quite a bit. AdWords is a morphing business as well. And the margins do seem to be tougher. Has that been what you've seen with the broadcast side? Are the salespeople disincentivized into doing that?
I mean, all our partners set their business dynamics. They set their commission rates. They set their fee structures. But as Rich said, there are ways that it can be successful. We're just at an early phase with a lot of our partners in seeing that success happen. But it is happening. And we, within our channel sales team, provide a lot of levers to improve the profitability of our partners. In some cases, we provide what we call the Trusted Digital Media Advisor, which is a training curriculum that we've developed that helps train traditional reps how to sell digital as a complete package. And that is something that we incur the cost for, creating the content and delivering the training. City after city, market after market, we send Google trainers to our partners and we incur all those costs. We'll then often attend lead generation events and draw in a group of potential customers for our partners and have someone from Google on site to help drive that as well. And in some cases with our premier partners, there are financial incentives to help with the profitability aspects of running a business managing AdWords accounts at the scale that they do. And so we are very aware of the margin pressures and of the profitability issues, and our program is constantly evolving and taking great feedback from our partners to help make them more and more profitable.
One of the complaints that I hear from our salespeople is that there are so many people out selling pieces of digital, Reach Local or Yellow Pages, Yelp. Depending on the size of the market, they'll come across a myriad of different sellers. Maybe this is best for Rich on the station side. How did you filter that? Why you and not Reach Local?
All of those companies, the pure play companies, wish they had radio. They wish they had the combination of the reach and audience that we have in radio to go together with their digital. So that's why we're not looking at a pure digital play. We're looking at that integrated sale because it's more effective. So positioning the fact that the combination of radio and digital is so much more powerful is really what we try to go to market with. And sometimes, quite honestly, it does. Some of our radio sellers will lead with digital and then bring the radio in later. And then sometimes, as George mentioned, that there are this big client of ours is already spending a lot of money in digital, but not with us. So they're a great radio advertiser with us. We can say to them, we've got the products that we can sell you on the digital side and really give you the measurement necessary to show the success in digital and on radio. So I think we're in an enviable position having radio together with digital that a Reach Local can't provide, for instance.
Ruth, you walk into the room, and the sellers have all of these different tools or ideas or things that the sales department, the corporate, whatever, has brought down. How do you energize on the email front?
What we find is that again, you're talking email and I'm talking database that feeds into the email.
Fair enough.
And that's a really important distinction. It's the activation platform. And so any single new, you have a new app, you have a new widget, you have anything else that you're trying to get across to your audience, Rich, as you're saying in terms of, isn't it great that you have the megaphone, right, of the transmitter? Being able to send that link out, being able to introduce it by email, it's not the single point. It is the use this to activate, and that's going to ensure that your products get used. You can see that the links are getting clicked. You can use this to position whatever the next new thing is. And I find that goes a long way towards energizing. We had a group of 10 television stations, medium to small market, and we just did like a home improvement thing with them. And over these 10 stations, they cleared just under $250,000. And it was just based on such really basic issues. A ton of different advertisers. They all came in at probably $750 to $1,500 a piece. So when you talk about where's the obstacle, I don't want to sell advertisers at $750 a piece. That's not worth it to me. Except they sold 10 in a market, and that was $15,000. And another market sold 30. Another market sold 20. And so when they start seeing that if the care and feeding of the database is the care and feeding of the next generation of products that they have, and that those $750 and $1,500 advertisers all start adding up into really nice business, those things kind of energize people.
I had a general manager. I asked him how we were doing in digital, 4%, 5%. And he said, that is the wrong question. He said, the question is, how did I get the X sub-account for $250,000? And what I provided was a texting program, website visibility, email marketing. Does this ring familiar where it's becoming more of a 360 package and maybe it's not a digital column? Anybody? All of you?
From our perspective, when we work with our partners, in every case it is not that they're just selling a Google package. It's that they're selling something else around it. Mm-hmm. And what makes the package more compelling is when there are the other additional value-added things the partners bring to the table, and digital is a component. Our curriculum, our philosophy is all about having that total digital marketing solution, which includes several other media elements. It's never just go sell search or go sell display. It's in combination with.
Rich?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, we have so many success stories of the combination of retargeting together with the radio and PPC. I think that reach extension is such a great match with radio, because it's, we're a targeted medium in radio, and if you can target with reach extension, you can get you can drill down very specifically on the audience you're going after. It makes a great combination between radio, and I think if you don't want to wander into the PPC, reach extension to me is a perfect match to go together with radio.
George, does this make any sense to you that some of these programs may actually be more effective in medium and smaller markets than some larger markets?
Well, definitely, and I think it comes down to who you're competing with. We know in large markets that you're going to have those pure play disruptors that are going to be out there, and the sales rep is going to have to be a lot more educated because they get very intimidated when they go into a client with their program and they've been pitched by a Reach Local or a Yodel or someone like that, and they're like, well, I need to know more about this. I want to have all the answers. In a small market, there's not as much competition, and we have found that in smaller markets, it is easier to make a quicker impact. And that is, there still is that question on digital. It doesn't matter if I'm in Carson City, Iowa, or if I'm in Barrie, Ontario, Canada, or if I'm in New Orleans doing a presentation for Fox 8 TV. It doesn't matter the size of the market. The client wants to know about digital. It really comes down to how you go to market as far as that sales presentation is concerned.
And Steve, if I can, my guess is that the client wants to know how to move product. Right, the client wants to get stuff off the shelf. The client wants to get people into their restaurant. It's, again, we're just going back to real basics. How do I make this happen? Well, we have a whole array of ways at different price points for this to work.
We have a few minutes for questions. If anybody has a question, the lovely John Guerin has got a microphone in his hand, and he knows how to use it. Anybody? Okay. We'll wait for that.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Come on, you're sitting in the middle. You can't ask a question if you're in the middle.
How are you showing the total impact of these campaigns that use all these various digital, over-the-air, all these other forms?
Well, obviously the digital tracking is the easiest because you can show click-through rate and, conversions. There's a lot of goal setting and upfront contracting with clients in terms of what expectations are, especially on the digital side. But, I have an example, for instance, of an urgent care company that we did in one of our markets where they had a set goal. They wanted to get, they were getting 25 to 30 people a day in this urgent care place, and they wanted to get up to 55 people. And so we had the real number, and then they also had some digital goals. So we just set the goals, and then we give them a complete recap. Also, a lot of companies have dashboards where they can provide a client with a full dashboard of digital performance, and that's also an effective way to kind of lock in the client.
And does the client read all that stuff? Or do
no.
they just
no.
do what Ruth says and say, okay, I move more stuff in my store?
They don't.
So, yeah.
Yeah. George, I'm curious about what you see as far as listener comments on radio online, since you monitor those kind of things. Are they positive? Are they negative? Are you just not seeing a lot about radio in general?
Well, it's interesting because we don't really have a lot of radio stations logged into our software. So what we started in the last 3 months, when we would sign on a radio partner, we're going to give them a free account so that they can monitor what's being said about them. So I can tell you about a few stations that we have where we've been monitoring the reputation. And on social media, there are a lot of comments. We don't see a lot across the review platforms. If it's a Google Plus review site or a Yelp site, you don't see the reviews. But on Facebook, there definitely are reviews when it comes to their page.
And Sean, all your all the comments regarding your column are always positive, right? Another question?
Actually, I have a question for Rich. Rich, you have stations across different sizes, and I thought it was interesting about the market size question. Have you seen that happening where the larger markets may not have quite the impact, or they're just being hounded by the pure plays, et cetera?
Well, we're having success in the large markets, but I'd say it's easier in the smaller markets because there's less sophistication. You're not competing with a lot of digital agencies. Some of our competitors like YP and Reach Local don't have as big a footprint in those marketplaces. It puts us in a position where we can educate clients. So I think, our smaller markets, it's an easier market in our smaller markets than our larger markets.
I have a question here.
Right up here. Oh, okay.
Christine, how do we find out on Google about your channel sales teams?
So we do have a website. If you Google PSP, Premier SMB Partner. Google PSP program. You'll find everything about our partners. You'll even see the partner listings for partners here today. We have a page for Scripps, a page for Cox, and then you'll see all the other partners in that particular program.
There's a great video on there. It's a radio advertiser. It's Furman Automotive in Tampa, and they're featured on the site. And they'll talk about how, and we continue to, they are a great partner of ours. We do all of their digital, and they have many dealerships. It's public, so it's, on the website there. But we've really done a great job both on the radio and the digital with them, and, very proud of the team in Tampa with that.
Hi. I hope kind of a softball question maybe, but everyone's kind of referred to the fact that with digital, there's usually smaller profits or profit margins and smaller packages. So how do you get your sales team motivated? Like, what are some one or two tips each one of you might say? So here's how you, given those environments, it's harder to get sales excited.
It's a great question.
I'll talk really briefly about how we work with partners to motivate their sales teams, because that's one of the key levers that we provide in terms of funding sales incentives and sales contests. And going back to the topic of there's just so many things, how do you keep the mind share up? We have to be constantly creating new and interesting ways for our partners' reps to want to sell the package that includes Google. And so a couple of things we've done, our sales rep contest, one was a race to the Super Bowl. So we actually sent top sellers from all of our partners around the world to Brazil for a week, which was an unbelievable event. We got huge, huge response, and the sales teams just loved it. They came back, and we thought, we have to do something else on the heels of this. And so we've now launched what I can't refer to as the race to the Super Bowl, but our touchdown frenzy. So we are now going to be sending the top sales reps from our partners to the Super Bowl for 4 days, lots of events, lots of fun stuff. And we think it's a way to really, keep them motivated and interested. But we know we're one small part of an overall sales strategy. We're just trying to continue to fund that to make it easier for our partners.
Our best incentive with Google is when we were able to have salespeople win a sales contest and go to Mountain View and bowl at the Google bowling alley. That was a lot of fun. And eat as much food as they wanted in the cafeteria and that kind of thing. And see a sleep pod and all that kind of thing. That was a lot of fun for our sellers. And they still talk about that trip to Google. So that was really good. Also, a lot of the products are actually higher margin products. And you shouldn't be misled because if you can sell, if you have a vendor who does responsive design websites or a targeted display reach extension, that has better margins than pay-per-click. So, and you can get 40% plus margins than that kind of thing. So the salespeople also know that this digital, for them to be relevant out there, the digital is really important to be part of their repertoire. So I think our sellers know that, and we keep it top of mind with them.
We are out of time. Christine, Rich, George, Ruth, thank you very much. But before we go, can someone, has there been an announcement out in San Francisco? Is there really an iWatch, or is it something else?
Not
nothing. Okay, so we can go.